handout is number 402. That'll be the song following the lesson.
Well, a lot of handouts tonight.
Next few Sunday nights, I'm not sure what the direction is going to go. We just finished that series of lessons on the verses in the Bible that use the phrase one another. So now I think I'll just kind of look at different attitudes of life and give a lesson on those, and I'm not sure what the next attitude is, but I'll find one and give a lesson on that. This one's on sloth. I wasn't going to give an outline out, but then Friday afternoon I thought, wait a minute, I'm preaching a lesson on sloth. I'd better get busy and get you an outline. So I came down the building real quickly and typed one up from my notes, and that's what you have in your hand. Comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 11, just be not slothful in business. By definition, sluggish, not easily aroused to action or work. That is not a recommendation, by the way. Lazy, disliking or avoiding work, slow moving, not functioning with normal vigor. Any family of a slow-moving, three-toed, tree-dwelling indentate, a mammal, a tropical in Central and South America that hangs down with his back toward the ground? I hope that doesn't describe you. But mostly it describes a person who wants something for nothing. Somebody says, I'd like something, but I don't want to put any effort into it. It's the person who wants to start at the top and work his way down. You think of, I remember when I was in sales, the sales manager, before I got my teaching credential, sales manager would say, you know, many people are willing to pay the price for failure. They're not willing to pay the price for success. They'll pay the price for failure, but not working. And the other phrase I remember about when it comes to sloth or not working is the only place success is found before work is in the dictionary. The word success and work. But this lesson this evening speaks to a universal truth, I think, in life, in Christian living. Just speaking about the necessity of work in the lesson. So I just looked at through the Proverbs and what Solomon had to say about admonitions to concerning that word sloth. And so I did, I looked at my notes, and I was thinking, man, there's just a lot of notes here. I probably shouldn't hand out an outline. I'll just preach it. But then I said, well, let's give you all, after I thought about all the verses I'm going to be using, I'll save you the effort, save you some work. You won't have to write them down if you were thinking about it. Number one, the slothful love to sleep excessively. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle soul suffers hunger. In Proverbs 6, verse 19, verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. I just put a note, your dreams come true when a person is awake. You can dream when you're sleeping and have your eyes closed, but you have to be awake if you're going to fulfill your dreams. Number two, the slothful is a wishful thinker. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desires, has nothing. Interesting phrase. The soul of the sluggard desires. In other words, oh, I wish I had that. Oh, I wish I could do that. Wish I could go there. He had a lot of desires. The soul of the sluggard desires, but he has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. In Proverbs 24, verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all the field. He's talking about the vineyard. It was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Then I saw, consider. well. I looked upon it, received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come. See, the lazy will permit his property to ruin because he's void of understanding. Void of understanding. The sluggard. I don't know if you know anyone like that. Now, don't point. But you may know someone. Number three. Well, I think when you sluggard, that's again the idea of sloth again. Someone that habitually lazy or idle, indisposed to exertion, you know, just slow moving, especially when action is required. But number three, he notes the slothful person is irritating to others. Here it is in Proverbs 10, verse 26. And here's the illustration. As vinegar to the teeth. As vinegar to the teeth. And as smoke to the eyes. So is the sluggard to them that send him. You ever have an employee that you just can't seem to motivate? That's the way the sluggard is. I send someone out to do the work. The sluggard. Just as vinegar is to the teeth, and as smoke is to the eyes, irritation, so is the sluggard to the one that sends him. You have an employee, if you happen to be in a position like that, that always arrives late, works to get out of work, wants to leave early, irritating. You're the one that sends the sluggard out. Number four, the sluggard will have a life full of troubles. In Proverbs 15, verse 19, the way of the slothful man, the way, or the journey, the way of life, the way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns. But the way of the righteous is made plain. In other words, the way of the slothful is always going to hurt. It's like a hedge of thorns. You know, you always want to say, you know, when are you going to learn that? It's again a lesson of life. When will you learn? It's better to get busy or better to work or fulfill your obligation. Do what, make good your promises. You know, otherwise you're going to always be full of troubles. Number five, the slothful will waste that which is given to him. In Proverbs 18, verse 9, he also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. So the slothful is like a brother of a great waster. You know, as a person, as a general rule, doesn't always appreciate what he has if he doesn't have to work for it. It's a general rule. Usually take better care of something that you had to work or to earn. Number six, the slothful, in many cases, are careless, indifferent, and not teachable. In other words, they go to the ant, but they don't learn from the ant. In Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise concerning the ants. They which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? If the sluggard does go to the ant, he probably won't learn to be active. He may learn a lot about ants, but he's not going to take it to heart. He's not going to put what he's learned into practice. So Solomon says, go to the ant, you sluggard, but learn, consider, he says, and be wise. So if the sluggard goes to the ant, okay, I see. But doesn't take it to heart. Number seven. The slothful won't even cook what he's caught. I guess he has a catch and release program. Proverbs 12, verse 27. The slothful man roasts not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Number eight. The slothful man is self-destructive. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Yeah, my desire just kills because I'm not going to go work for it. I just have all these wishes, all these wants, but I'm not getting up to go do something about it. Self-destructive. Kills himself. Number 9. The slothful man comes up with ridiculous excuses for not working. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Oh, I can't go plant seed. It's cold outside. Oh, I can't go do this. It's cold outside. I can't get up early. It's cold in the morning. In Proverbs 22, verse 13, the slothful man says, there's a lion out there. I'll be slain in the streets. Repeated in Proverbs 26, verse 13. The slothful man says, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. There's not a lion out there. Solomon lives in Jerusalem. It's a city. There's walls to keep the lions out. There's not a lion in the street. So in other words, if you're going to make an excuse, you can make any excuse you want, because you're still not going to go to work. Any excuse under the sun to keep from doing it. So Solomon uses this illustration. Well, you might as well say there's a lion in the street. There's not a lion out there. But you don't want to go to work. So make any excuse up that you want. Number 10, some slothful are too lazy to eat. Mentioned twice. In Proverbs 19, verse 24. And also in Proverbs 26, verse 15. It says, and almost a verse repeats itself, the slothful man hides his hand in his bosom. It grieves him to bring it again to his mouth. So he says to himself, he's having this fine feast in front of him. He's taken one bite. He says, oh, that's good. Sure wish I could have another. But I'm too lazy to even bring my hand back up to my mouth for a second bite. Now that's lazy.
Amen.
I want a second bite. But that's the illustration for the slothful man. I'd sure enjoy another bite, but I just don't want to feed myself. Number 11. The slothful man's conceited, and that causes him to act foolishly and be self-deceived. In Proverbs 26, verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You ever describe someone as being hard-headed? No point. You ever said someone stubborn as a mule? What do you mean by that? They're blind as a bat. Can't they see what I'm saying or hear what I'm saying? Or say someone, you just can't reason with that person. Solomon says here, because the slothful man is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Well, that's a lot. You get a small group together trying to talk you into something. No, I'm set in my ways. Oh. Well, you'll go hungry. Number 12. The slothful man may make a lot of noise or motion, but doesn't go anywhere. Proverb is in Proverbs 26, verse 14, as the door turns upon its hinges. And there's your visual. As a door turns upon its hinges, so does the slothful on his bed. The slothful may roll from one side to the other, but he never gets up. He's a lot of motion. As a door on its hinges. Like sitting in a rocking chair. Ooh, lots of action. But you don't go anywhere. That's what the slothful man is. Number 13. The slothful man will always be a servant of others. Maybe I shouldn't have used the word always. But the slothful man will be a servant to others. In Proverbs 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. contribute. In other words, it's possible that you lose your independence. Just, I'll never take charge. I won't ever be a leader. I may not ever go out on my own because I'm a sluggard. I'll always be in obligation to somebody because I'm not willing to work. I'm not willing to get busy. I'll always be obliged to someone else, either to help me work or to hand out someone. You'll always be, Solomon says, you'll always be under tribute. Verse four, number 14. I just kind of put it in Christianity. It contributes to our spiritual demise or eternal consequences. Very familiar story that Jesus tells of the people that had the talents. And one was just given one talent. Had a talent. Had ability. Had opportunity. But he comes back to Jesus, or he comes back to the Lord and the Master of the situation. For time for an accounting, time of reckoning, he says, I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Wicked and slothful. Because he had the ability. He has a talent. But he hid it. He said, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I sowed not. You knew that. And I gather where I haven't strawed. So in verse 30, he says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what's wrong with sloth? Jesus in that parable says it's wicked, it's slothful, and it's unprofitable. Three things. Did I put a prescription down there? I saw this little article in the bulletin. It says a working prescription. Seldom do physicians of the various medical schools agree in the diagnosis and treatment of diseases. The following prescription is one that is unanimously recommended and accepted. If health is threatened, work. If disappointments come, work. If you are rich, continue to work. If faith falters and reason begins to fail, work. If dreams are shattered and hope seems dead, work. If sorrows overwhelm you and loved ones are untrue, work. If you are burdened with seemingly unfair responsibilities, work. If you are happy, keep right on working. For where there is idleness, there is room for doubt and fear. No matter what ails you, work. Work as if your life were in peril, for it is. Work. I don't know why people, or what makes a person slothful or unprofitable. I just jotted down a couple things. Opinion. Not necessarily have a little Bible for it. But I know it's not why someone is slothful or indifferent or lazy. You know, it's not an easy thing to answer. No two people are alike, especially in response to environment. There's not a specific Bible verse to answer the question, why is this person unprofitable? When I was working up these notes, it's interesting how often a newspaper article or something I read in the newspaper says, that's what I just wrote down for a lesson. When I say two people people, different environment. No two people are alike. There's just an article, and this was on Tuesday, February 17th. So setting an example in word and deed. Here's two people, two different backgrounds, but yet they're both achieved. So I can't just say, oh, it's because they were raised wrong. One of these guys was raised wrong. Andre Jones learned about being a father by example. Even if he didn't particularly appreciate his dad's tough love curriculum until long after the fact. Aaron Wooten learned by default, giving his son the kind of unconditional support and measured wisdom his absentee father never gave him. Wooten's father was never there. Jones' dad still looms large 4 years after his death. Their stories could not be more different, but when it comes to the goals of San Diego's father-to-child classes, the two program coordinators are on the same page. So if I tell you, or if I say to you, oh, I know why this person's lazy or indifferent or slothful, because the way he was raised. Your environment does not have to affect you because it's in the newspaper. Two people raised completely differently, one without the father, one with the father, but yet here they are working together to accomplish fine things. I just put a couple of things down. Maybe someone is slothful because they grew up without responsibilities in the home. Most of us grew up with chores. We really learned to work, didn't we? You'll work first, then play. Now, that's the way it was in my house. Of course, being from Michigan with the four seasons, we shovel snow in the winter. We planted in the spring. We watered in the summer. We raked leaves in the fall. There was always a job to do. Always. We didn't hurt for work. So we want to instill in our children, we try to instill in our children, homework, schoolwork, church work, help others, lend a hand. Even now, I think society is recognizing that, and I think there's a graduation requirement in there for volunteerism to some degree as a requirement. I think society even recognizes they want children to learn to help others. Second, maybe they grew up with chores, but they didn't learn its value. They said, okay, I got to do that. Well, okay, that's done. Chalk that off. No, let's go. Maybe they're discouraged. Maybe they developed a what's the use attitude. Maybe they had so many setbacks in life and growing up, and that's robbed them of the desire to keep trying. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they haven't developed self-discipline. And a lot of people aren't. There's certain jobs that require self-discipline. But when I was in sales, especially outside sales, I had several jobs that way. And I just had to leave the house and take my notebook in hand and park my car at one end of the industrial park and sell and walk in all these mom-and-pop stores. You want what I have to sell? You want what I have to sell? You want what I have to sell? All day long. At a quota, you had to meet. And you had to be a self-starter. Same thing with preaching or a Bible class teacher. There's no one over you to say, hey, you need to be busy here. You need to be down at the building. You need to be on your computer. You need to be opening these books. Some people are not self-starters in that way. And that's okay. Lack of enthusiasm for life, well, that'll take it out of you. When life has lost its luster, I just want to sit down. Well, I want to just find a corner. The almost poor me. So I'm not busy. I took myself out of the work. It might be part of the problem. It might be a combination of some of these things. Slothfulness may be the result of a gradual practice that developed into a bad habit. You just start doing something. So we want to avoid habits that take us away from the goal, whatever we have in life. I'll close with this verse. I put it in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. You're familiar with the story. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house, meaning Jesus. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' about much serving. And she came to him, meaning Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help me. Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In life, you have choices. There's sometimes things in life that you will not have an opportunity to repeat. This situation was probably one of them. Jesus was at their house right now. Mary was not doing anything criminal. I mean, Martha. Nothing criminal. Nothing wretched. Nothing horrible. In fact, preparing something for some treats for us after the lesson. Way to go, Martha. But you know what? The lesson is being presented right now. Stop what you're doing and choose the good part. That's the way it's going to be in your life and mine. There'll be times that we're sitting there, oh, I know that job needs to be tackled. We need to just develop some self-motivation or whatever for us to just get up and go do what we know needs to be done. That phrase, and Dennis used it not long ago too, but I've tried to use it when I was in sales too. Sometimes, especially when I had to do sales calls, just dial for dollars, he used to call it. Just dial, 100 no's, and you get one yes. Couldn't wait to get number 88. I'm so close now to get a yes. I'm so close. But the idea is it's easier to act yourself into a better way of feeling than to wait till you feel like acting. Because as long as you're sitting there, I don't feel like acting. I don't feel like acting. But if you get up and go do it, all of a sudden you feel better. You feel better. Same way in Christianity. What about the calls we need to make? Or the study time. Or attendance. Whatever it is. The title of the lesson is Be Not Slothful in Business. At always the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament Church, if you haven't been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this evening. If you'd like to respond in a public way, just simply come to the front and have a seat beside me and just let your request be known. So let's stand together and stand.